You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today we're digging in more, and probably for the final in-depth time, but maybe not, on the coaching hire, or the coaching carousel, as the Pacers attempt to replace Nate McMillan. There was some new NBA coaching news today, and a little leak about someone that might interview with the Pacers, and something I want to talk about regarding the Pacers coaching search, excuse me. So there's a lot to talk to about today involving that, and I think that until we get more concrete candidates, this will be the last time I really dive into the coaching stuff unless we get topics from someone. But yeah, it's always fun to talk about this, so we'll just jump right in. So the big one today that I think is important to talk about is Steve Nash was hired by the Brooklyn Nets as their head coach. How does this relate to the Pacers? Well, two things I think stand out to me. First of all, this is cool for Steve Nash. He's never had a job outside of consulting in the NBA with the Warriors, so very big jump. I guess they really believe in him, but cool for him. It's going to be interesting to see how he coaches them, but really out of left field hire, right? No one saw Nash as an option. No one was considering him as a Pacers option. I certainly didn't have Steve Nash on my radar as a coaching option. I'm not even sure he was a Pacers option, but he is hired. That's one team off the board, right? So that's where it relates to the Pacers first and foremost, is of the top candidates that we talked about before, we never mentioned Nash's name. Maybe Nash should have been a top candidate. I don't know how good he's going to be, but if you wanted one of the Kenny Atkinson, MDA, Lou, kind of guys who are available right now, that's one less opening they can take to barter and drive their price up. So that is good for the Pacers, I think. And I'm not saying that, the Nets job is probably the most appealing too of all the openings, just because they have Durant and Kyrie clearly going for a title. Pretty hard to have, a losing record and really taint your legacy. Like Jackie Vaughn was the Nets interim coach, who is now an assistant under Nash. Right, his record sucks as a head coach because his only job ever was the post-Dwight Howard Orlando Magic, and that team was terrible. So he did a good job with the Nets this year, but like people point to his abysmal record as evidence that he isn't very good. And, he's only coached three seasons in the league. There's not really evidence that he's awesome, but I think that his record is bad there. I think coaches who would be hired by the Nets would automatically get a good record because the roster's going to be awesome. But anyway, they hired Nash, so that's one less job for the Pacers to compete with. The other thing that I want to relate this to the Pacers with is something we've talked about more so recently because, Kevin Pritchard just talked on Monday, but he someone asked him if he would consider a college coach or anything like that, and he said, yeah, if it's the right guy, we'll hire him. And he talked about how he wants his coaching hire to be good at communicating with the modern NBA player. Said he called, David West to see how he can learn more about that, right? And I think that was a big part of the Nash hire, is his ability to communicate with players. He's got that experience with the Warriors. He was in the league not that long ago, amazingly. And then he also wants a more modern approach, right? That last one could just not, it's irrelevant to what I'm trying to say here. But basically, he's looking for the quality that Nash has there of good communication and leadership skills. But nothing he said really rules out anybody. And we can talk all we want about, the list of the betting candidates to win the job, right? And those are the popular names amongst NBA circles. ESPN has a list of the most popular assistant coaches that could get hired by a team, right? They ask around the league to figure out who those guys could be, right? So the betting names are really just the household names around the league, which still makes them good bets, but also makes them good guys to focus on. But, Pritchard saying the scope is so wide, basically, could mean you get a hire like this. It could, like, Steve Nash came out of nowhere. The reactions this morning that I saw were basically everyone was incredulous. Just like, what? Steve Nash gets a coaching job? And again, it's mostly just because he's never coached before. Not that anyone thinks or knows that he'll be great or bad. It's just no one knows. So I think that that is something to consider with this Pacers hire, and a reason that maybe we, on this show at least, will relax coverage on the search a little bit without concrete names, which next segment we'll get into more of that line of thinking, but it's because it could just literally be anybody. Like, Steve Nash is out of nowhere. Like, Reggie Miller and Ron Artest were on the betting list. I know that was a joke, but, you know, not a joke. That's not what I want to say. But, like, you know, their odds were ridiculous for a reason. But, like, former players just could pop up, or a guy you've never heard of out of the G League could pop up. And, again, next segment, a lot of what I'm saying will make some sense. But I think with this hire, we're just seeing what coaching hires really can be in the NBA of, you know, if they can really help your best player or your team be elevated, even if they've never coached before, your team's gonna hire them. And that's why I think for the Pacers, just really psychoanalyzing all these guys, it's interesting, and it's interesting to think of how it could make the team better. But I think it's impossible of an exercise to see to really tailor in on like two guys or three guys and say, you know, okay, let's focus on these three guys as the guys the Pacers could hire, because It's impossible to say that that's the case. But the coaching carousel did not move just to Nash. There was also some more rumors today. One being that the Sixers are close to a deal with Ty Lue. That's from John Johnson, who covers the 76ers for Sports Radio WIP in Philly. Lue I like as a coach a lot. I think he's better with a team with stars, so that seems like a good fit for them. But it's not official yet. You know, there's some other social reporting saying that they're not as close. But still, that kind of makes sense anyway. It's something we talked about on the show before. So if that does end up materializing right after this Nash stuff, and maybe, you know, Lue is deciding between Philly and Brooklyn, there you go. His decision's made for him. That's another one off the Pacers board. And another team that isn't competing with the Pacers. So, again, they could be more likely to get the guy they want if some of these other vacancies are filled. So that is for the coaching carousel news today. Now, coming up is we got a little leaky leak reporting report on a guy the Pacers are interviewing. And these are the segments coming up that I think you're going to hear a lot more from us on this show is not, maybe not diving in, because some of, it's hard to find background info on a lot of these guys. But Dan Craig, of the assistant for the Miami Heat, reportedly going to interview with the Pacers. And these kind of segments I want to do more where we look into a guy that actually is going to interview and see, you know, Dan Craig. You guys have never heard that name, or at least very few of you have before. So we can learn more about him and what he could bring to the team. So before we do that, we have to talk about Roman, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day, or I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medicine. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and most importantly for most of you, discreet. So getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/lockedon and get a complete visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today. Connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to roman.com/lockedonmba today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's roman.com/lockedonmba. So, surprise! Dan Craig, out of nowhere, is being interviewed for the Pacers job. This is per Miami Heat Beats, a site that covers the Heat independently, although I have seen them get source reports before. They also talked about him possibly interviewing with the Bulls. That was also in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, a newspaper also reporting the same thing. So I don't need to establish their credibility. I know that I believe them as a sourced group for various reasons. Anyway, they reported today, quote, Miami Heat assistant Dan Craig will interview for the Pacers head coaching job per sources. So I dug into Craig right away, because that's what I do. And this is, you know, his name is going to be popular because he's the first guy linked with the job. And he could be a good fit for the Pacers. You know, something, I the reason his name's going to be popular has nothing to do with his if he's the best hire or not. I'm just saying that before you hear his name a million times, because he's the first guy. Anyway, he could be a good fit, though. He's 38. He's only 38, so young for an NBA coach. But he's been with the Heat, the organization, for 17 years. He started with the Heat in 2003 as a video intern and then did the Spoelstra path, right, where he slowly works up through the video room and then moves to player development and then, you know, even higher player development to assistant coaching, to the G League coaching, back to his... He's done really it all over his 17 years with the Heat. But, you know, the program builder thing Pritchard said, this might be stupid of me, but, like, I think when he said, like, I kind of interpret that as young, not like young. You know, 38 is crazy young for a coach, which is not a bad thing. It's just true. But, you know, a 60-plus-year-old coach, it's less of program building when that guy's not going to be around for as long. And maybe he establishes some sort of program that he can leave behind, right? It's not impossible for an older coach to be the program builder. I just, when I heard that, I thought, oh, younger guys have that leg up. That was from the ESPN report, excuse me. Pritchard was not the program builder guy. ESPN said the Pacers are looking that way. Anyway, Craig's 38, been with the same team for forever, 17 years, right? That is insane to me. He has actually been the head coach for two games in the NBA. His debut was during the birth of Eric Spoelstra's first kid, and lo and behold, their opponent that night, the Indiana Pacers, March 25th, 2018. The game went to overtime with Dan Craig, again, coaching the Heat, and I don't know how many of you remember this game. I didn't. I had to Google it. Victor Oladipo led the way with 23 points, but a nice night from Thad Young, who had 22. And really, this is the most 2018 Pacers performance ever. They got, you know, good scoring from Corey Joseph, GR3, Lance, Bojan at 18. Anywho, the Heat pushed them to OT, only lost by six. They, you know, with rookie Bam and a million-year-old Dwayne Wade, were not that great that season. Just a little bit over 500 at that time. And then this past season, he got a second opportunity to coach a game in December. Spoelstra was away again. This time, the Celtics won 112-93. So Craig's NBA head coaching record doesn't look super awesome, right? If you just saw those 0-2 games. That's two games. It's irrelevant. That's just, it's 0-2. It is what it is. But he coached, the reason I was trying to use that doesn't look awesome as a segue, because he did coach the G League CU Falls Skyforce. That would be the Heat's G League affiliate team for one season. They went like 40-10 and had a 10-game winning streak and another like 9-game winning streak or something. Just an insane season in Sioux Falls, and they won the G League title that year, actually. So he did a very good job in his minor league stint and has the two head coaching experience games. And Spo I was reading some interviews. It's hard to find sometimes information about these assistants. Spo has talked about Craig before, talking about how, you know, he remembers being where Craig is and says that, you know, Craig's got more experience and has paid his dues more than Spo had at this point after 17 years, but also said, you know, coaching those games is big experience just to get the vibe of what you're doing when you're the head coach of a game, right? So even if it is just two games and two losses, it's still, I think, important experience that not a lot of... Steve Nash doesn't have that, right? Dan Craig can go, hey, I've coached two games, and maybe that's only two games, but I don't think that's nothing. So very interesting guy who, very loyal to his organization, looks like, again, his G League experience looks great, right? Nurse showing that G League coaches have a place in the NBA, or at least can have a place in the NBA. Player development guy with the Heat, right? That typically guy who can coach a G League team and comes out of the video room can be good at looking really close at skills and stuff like that. So I didn't know much about Dan Craig when I woke up today, but after that report and where I'm at now, I think he looks like a decent candidate at a first glance. And this is what I want to do more, is really dig into these guys who sources report that will interview with the Pacers. I think that's much more interesting than just bouncing ideas off the wall and seeing what sticks. But yeah, Dan Craig, the first reported interview with the team. He's also, again, like I said earlier, the South Florida Sun-Times reports he's going to interview with the Bulls for their vacancy. That is also probably a very good fit given the resume for him that I just said. But two interviews, right? Clearly in somewhat high demand, and this article mentions, right, the Spo coaching tree, and I say that as an intentional segue because my last segment will be talking about a different coaching tree, right? Fizdale came out of that one, and Fizdale obviously made his teams look good, had some rub-ins with players, so his coaching itself isn't great, and then also Juwan Howard an assistant for Spo at times, now the head coach at Michigan. So, yeah, Craig's in the bubble with the Heat now, so I don't know if that interview would happen now or when the Heat are out or how that's going to work or anything like that, or if we'll even hear about it. But, yeah, that's the first guy we've gotten a sniff from, and, yeah, it's time. Spoelstra even saying this guy is ready to be a head coach right now in the league. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that goes anywhere just because he seems like a decent candidate on paper, could, in theory, fit a lot of the stuff the Pacers want to do. So, yeah, the first official candidate. That's what I want to tailor more of Locked On Pacers coaching search coverage to be, is talking about specific guys. I think that's much more interesting and actually important, right? Not just, again, bouncing random ideas off the wall. So looking forward to hopefully hearing more about him and seeing what happens. So I want to do one more coaching segment after I just said I don't want to do coaching segments, because I want to talk about something that is interesting. It's just interesting. The Popovich coaching tree, right, gets talked up quite a bit, and I want to analyze it as an option for the Pacers. But first, I want to talk about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars ever. And I've talked about them on the show a million times for good reason. They're delicious. They sent me 12 of their original flavors. I tried all of them, and I genuinely really enjoyed all of them. And now I want to try their 6 new flavors. These are protein bars. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Now they have new flavors like carrot cake, cookies and cream, caramel brownie. Something I really love about them that I mention every time I talk about them is their flavor matches their consistency on the inside, right? They're not all the same consistency. If it's double chocolate, it's going to be smoother, whereas the coconut one will be crunchier. They're really, really fantastic. And they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber protein bars, great for keto diet or other types of diets. And best of all, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, at checkout, you'll get $10 off your next order. So go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off to let them know that you came from us. The Popovich coaching tree. It's people's favorite thing to talk about. Kevin Pritchard actually hails from the Popovich tree. He was a scout for the Spurs for a hot second. But, you know, really it's the Popovich Budenholzer tree that I'm talking about right now, because I'm reading a tweet that sparked this idea in my head. But anywho, Kevin Chouinard, who used to cover the Hawks for Hawks.com, does some stuff for Fox Sports Southeast, tweeted this. He said, bad season for the Popovich Budenholzer coaching tree, Pop missed the playoffs for the first time since 1997. Snyder, that's Quinn Snyder, blew a 3-1 series lead for the Jazz. Budenholzer doing a good coach of the year impression regular season, but the bubble bucks seem awfully shaky. Very true. And Budenholzer's playoff rotations look terrible. I mean, like, the worst. It's unbelievable. Like, Pat Connaughton is playing 30 minutes a game. Kenny Atkinson, fired. Still think Kenny's really good, but anyway. Brett Brown, fired. Taylor Jenkins, assistant for Budenholzer, had a pretty good season. That's one. But the Grizzlies did make the playoffs after a good start. And then that is all of the tweet. There's also, left off of the tweet, James Borrego, the coach of the Charlotte Hornets, who doesn't look amazing. You know, the Hornets were fine, but I don't know if Borrego's, like, blown anyone away. And I'm sure I'm missing people, because the Pop coaching tree is huge, right? It's enormous. I probably should have pulled up an article I was reading about other guys that I'm missing from the Pop coaching tree. But that made me start thinking about the Popovich coaching tree, because I've always thought of it kind of highly, just because you get your Kenny Atkinsons, who I like. I really like Bud. I really wanted the Pacers to hire Bud when he was available before he joined the Bucks. Man, I'm really curious who I'm in. Oh, Jim Boylan is the other Pop tree guy that had a terrible year. He got fired. And Gentry got fired as well. This list, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, not a great year for the Pop coaching tree. Now, I've always considered the Pop coaching tree to be a good thing, mostly because you talk about the successes all the time. When the tree is this big, it's easy to do that. Budenholzer, really good for the Bucks, but has his playoff limitations for sure. Kenny Atkinson did a good job for the Nets, but Quinn Snyder, I love too. But then you have a lot of flip side guys, right? You have, computer has decided to play an ad while I'm talking. So then you have your failures, like Jim Boylan in there, I just said. Borrego's not my favorite. Brett Brown, obviously, got the Sixers out of the pre-process era and is a scapegoat. You know, he's better than being fired, but, you know, not amazing. Like, I think that the Popovich coaching tree, and I think we'll get to this at some point in this process, the Spoelstra coaching tree, I don't necessarily know that I buy that just being in the coaching tree has any value. People talk about, what I see in my Twitter mentions a lot is people don't want the Pacers to hire a retread coach, right? They don't want to just take some old head and just stick it on the tires of the Pacers and then go, okay, that's our coach. And I totally understand that sentiment. I don't really care about a retread. I think that every situation is unique enough that it's not really a retread. But I think that, you know, the retread thing comes to me when does the Pop coaching tree actually matter? I think it's so hit and miss that it's impossible for me to read into it and go, and some of these guys are Budenholzer disciples, right? And we've talked about Darvin Ham and Charles Lee on the show. They're Budenholzer assistants right now. And Becky Hammon, she's a Pop assistant right now. Tim Duncan. Those people are next up. And they all have a very good chance to be a very good coach. But I don't know that the Pop tree is something that should be talked about as highly as it is, just given the track record of some of these people. Now, you could get Budenholzer if you snag someone off the tree, but you also could get Jim Boylan, you know, and that's not what you want to do. So that was kind of a shorter segment, but I just think and I'm going to start checking myself on this because I in the past have said, oh, he's a Pop coaching tree guy, I'm into that. But I don't know that I am into that as much anymore. Now that I've seen the list of names, I kind of give myself pause. I have to go, okay, you know what? Maybe that isn't 100% the right train of thought. Now, if it's the right guy, it's the right guy. I don't want to just, like, shoot it down either. I think I'm just neutral on it now. I used to be thinking, okay, maybe learning under Pop is a good thing and seeing that culture and system of success, but maybe it's not applicable to other organizations, and it's not super easy to transfer around. So if you're really pro the tree, I understand being it. There's a lot of success stories from it, but there's also a lot of failures from it, which makes it hard for me to really dig into it and go, they should pluck off this person. They should go get Charles Lee from the Bucks, you know, the Budenholzer assistant. Or Udoka from the Sixers, he's off the Pop tree. I don't know that you can really chase those people as confidently just using the guise of he's from the Popovich tree. If they're really good on their own merit, go ahead. But I just thought that was something interesting worth talking about. But yeah, that's all the coaching coverage I want to offer for today. And I think going forward, I'm probably done with generalized thoughts like that in the first segment. I think it'll be more just, oh, we're hearing about this. Like I said, it'll be more just, we're hearing about this interview. Let's talk about that guy. I think that's much more interesting, much more important to the future of the team. But yeah, thank you guys for listening this week, the first week without games. So I'm glad we were able to find some content to talk about. Not that it's really hard with the games going on still, just not for the Pacers, but you know, it's always just the pivot to the offseason is tougher than the actual offseason. So thank you guys for giving us content to talk about and sticking with us. We hope you're enjoying Locked On Pacers in offseason mode. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your weekend, and we will be back on Monday.